The following podcast contains explicit language.
Tonight I ordered a targeted military strike on the airfield in Syria from where the chemical attack was launched.
I would have stayed out of Syria and I wouldn't have fought so much for Assad.
This is not an easy thing, but it's a necessary thing.
I support both the action and the objective.
I'm glad that he now sees that these atrocities are war crimes and there needs to be an American response, but you can't do it without Congress.
Hello and welcome to Trumpcast, the show about the liberal humanitarian interventionist, Donald Trump. I'm Jacob Weisberg. We weren't planning to do a show today, but last night, Donald Trump started a war with Syria, so we decided we'd better do one after all. I'm not really surprised that Trump started a war on day 77 of his presidency. I am surprised that he started one with Bashar Assad. During the campaign, Trump had a pretty clear message about Syria. It was don't get involved in that mess except to fight ISIS. This made Trump the nominal ally of Assad and the Russians who were helping on Assad's side. Trump has never given a damn about human rights or the 500,000 victims of the Syrian civil war or, needless to say, Syrian refugees. But moved by pictures of children killed by what was apparently sarin gas, Trump has flipped on all of that. He decided to enforce the norm against the use of chemical weapons by launching a missile attack last night against the Syrian military. I think we should avoid the trap of thinking something that we'd otherwise support is bad just because Donald Trump does it or agrees with it. But what does Trump's missile strike actually mean? It's not clear that it represents anything more than a passing urge to punish somebody based on some images he saw. Like a lot of people, I woke up scratching my head about what this apparent reversal means for Trump's foreign policy, if he can even be said to have a foreign policy. To help me sort this out, I'm joined by Max Boot. He's a military historian and foreign policy analyst. His most recent book is Invisible Armies. It's a history of guerrilla warfare. And Max, you've also been an advisor to some Republican presidential candidates, I think Romney and McCain, but emphatically not Donald Trump.
Definitely not Donald Trump. I have not been a part of the Donald Trump fan club. I've been appalled and horrified.
So you're like a charter member of the Never Trump group, but I think you've also been an advocate of a more active response to the Assad regime in Syria, and generally you're quite sympathetic to the idea of this kind of military intervention. So where does this leave you? This guy you don't like has just done something which I would assume, knowing you, that you probably kind of support.
Yeah, and I am supporting what Donald Trump has done. I mean, I still have a lot of concerns about his presidency overall, but I think in the case of Syria, he's done the right thing. I think that President Obama made a terrible mistake in 2013 when he threatened a red line over the use of chemical weapons and then did not follow through, which had tremendous not only humanitarian cost in Syria, but also strategic cost for the United States, because it really dented our credibility and it made aggressors around the world, including Russia, China, Iran, and North Korea, think that they could act with impunity and that we would not do anything serious to stop them. So I think that President Trump is making an important move to reassert some American credibility, to reassert some deterrence, and to send a message to Assad and other aggressors that the United States will no longer be paralyzed and afraid to act. But now, all of that said, I think that President Trump also has a lot of explaining to do, because this is such a head-spinning 180-degree turn from where he's been on foreign policy throughout the campaign in his first couple of months in office. I mean, this is a guy who repeatedly pledged that he would not get into the Syrian quagmire, who showed no interest in promoting human rights, who said that he wanted to ban and tried, in fact, to ban all Syrian refugees from the United States, and repeatedly said that the only thing he wanted to do in Syria was to cooperate with Russia to attack ISIS. All of a sudden, now, he's carrying out the kind of airstrike that we might have expected President Hillary Clinton to carry out I don't think he's offered a cogent explanation of what accounts for this change of heart, aside from obviously the horrifying video of the Syrian chemical gas strike. But what does this mean for the future of Syria? I mean, what happens when Assad goes back to killing people with conventional weapons rather than chemical weapons? Are we okay with that? Or do we only object to him murdering people with chemical weapons? And what's our position on Assad anyway? I mean, as recently as a week ago, Rex Tillerson was signaling that we were fine with keeping Assad in power, which may have encouraged Assad to carry out this chemical weapons strike. What is our policy in Syria? Is it regime change or something else? And if it's something else, what is that policy? So I think this was a good step, but you know, there's a lot of question marks that are hanging over the aftermath of this cruise missile strike.
So, Max, first, let's just pick up on that point about the mercurial, flip-flop, hypocritical nature of Trump's reaction. I mean, isn't the reality here that he's just used the American military the way he uses his Twitter feed? That is, he saw something on TV, it got him mad, and he launched a missile strike. It may be that this missile strike is one that you would support. I would ordinarily support it. It may be a good idea in the context of a rational policy, but in the context of a president who's going to react in this way with military force, and I should say without any authorization from Congress, which Obama felt he did need if he were going to intervene in Syria, it's terrifying.
I mean, that's a fair point. It's certainly puzzling because we all recall that in 2013, Trump was highly critical of President Obama for even contemplating military action to back up the red line in Syria. He repeatedly said we needed to stay out of Syria. It was a dumb idea, and that if Obama was going to act, he needed congressional authorization. And of course, now here we are 4 years later, and Obama and Trump is acting, doing the very thing that he was criticizing Obama, that ultimately Obama did not do in 2013. So, yeah, I think you're right to be concerned about how does this fit into a larger foreign policy. I mean, I suppose if you were looking at the glass half full as opposed to half empty, you would say, okay, maybe this is a positive step forward away from this quasi-isolationist America First agenda on which Trump sought office. It's a move away from the kind of foreign policy espoused by the likes of Steve Bannon, and it's an act which is very much in the foreign policy mainstream, which is why you've seen not only Republicans, but Democratic leaders, and I really commend them for this. You've seen Democratic leaders applauding this cruise missile strike as well.
But you saw what Rex Tillerson said yesterday. I mean, I thought it was an amazing quote. He said, don't extrapolate a change in policy based on the military activities in Syria today. In other words, we launched the missiles, but don't assume it means anything. We were just launching some missiles because the president got mad. It doesn't necessarily have any policy implications.
Well, I guess the more benign explanation or the more benign spin would be to say that the primary aim of this strike was to reassert this international norm against chemical weapons use, which in fact is what Trump said in his statement and what H.R. McMaster said in explaining the statement. But I mean, I think if you look at the ways that Trump is different from Obama, and there's a million of them, obviously. But I would say, in general, from my perspective anyway, Obama was overly analytical, overly hesitant to act decisively. And so he was often subject to paralysis by analysis. And I think that certainly happened in the case of Syria, where he kept studying it and studying it and studying it, and he couldn't do anything because he kept seeing problems no matter what he did. And I don't think that's the appropriate stance for a president of the United States. But now Trump is, we're going from one extreme to the other, because Trump is certainly, nobody would accuse him of being overly thoughtful or analytical. He's impetuous, he's emotional, he's erratic. When he sees something, he acts. And in this case, I mean, I'm glad he did. I think it was the appropriate response for this horrifying human rights violation committed by the Assad regime. But you do have to wonder, how does this fit into the broader picture? And what does this mean for the future? I mean, I heard today, or I saw today, Jeff Goldberg of The Atlantic suggesting that Trump is an isolationist interventionist, or maybe he's an interventionist isolationist. I mean, I don't know. It's an oxymoron. It doesn't make any sense. His foreign policy really doesn't make any sense, which is why I think a lot of his core supporters on the ultranationalist right are very disappointed with him, because this is not the guy they thought they were signing up for.
Right. But I mean, I think the reality is that you're giving him too much credit, suggesting that he's that there's any foreign policy idea driving this at all. I mean, he's what he is a television watching emotional reactor. Right. And what's terrifying about that is that while I basically agree with you that this is an appropriate reaction, I think there is the norm against the use of weapons of mass destruction, including chemical weapons, should be enforced, although ideally by the international community and not just by the United States acting unilaterally. But imagine the North Korean equivalent of this. Imagine the Chinese equivalent of this. Trump sees something on TV, gets mad and reacts in a case. I mean, we don't ultimately know what all the consequences of this will be. But if he were tangling with Kim Jong-un right now, you know, it would be a very different story.
Well, I think those are very legitimate concerns, and I share those concerns. The flip side of it is, I think that there is a case to be made for the president of the United States instilling some fear in people, more so than President Obama did, because he was so hesitant and cautious in his use of force. And it's not entirely a bad thing for America's enemies around the world to be worried about what is the guy in the Oval Office going to do. He's capable of using force and using it quickly with little warning. So, you know, that's not a bad message to send to our enemies. But I think there is also an element of predictability that you need in American foreign policy to reassure our allies and to set out clear red lines. Because if we want to deter bad behavior, we need to be clear about what kind of behavior we're going to respond to. I think that's important to prevent conflict. And I think that's the big weakness of the Trump administration right now. It's not clear why, after all the previous atrocities in Syria, Trump chose to react to this one, or what that means either for the future of Syria or for the use of U.S. force in other places around the world. And I think it's very important for the administration and preferably the president himself to lay out some kind of Trump doctrine and foreign policy to explain what their current thinking is, as opposed to the kind of stuff that Trump said over the course of the campaign. But, you know, ultimately, you may well be right, you know, Jacob, because maybe that's impossible for a president as impetuous and erratic and as shallow as Donald Trump. Maybe he can't, you know, be bound by any kind of analytical thinking or theoretical concepts or any kind of rules. Maybe he just acts on the spur of the moment. If that's in fact the case, and there's a lot of evidence to indicate that, I think our best reassurance comes from the fact that there are people like H.R. McMaster and Jim Mattis who are around him and who will modulate and channel his desire to strike out. And in this particular case, the military option they chose was a pretty low-grade one, pretty low risk, and pretty measured.
And one thing they did with this Tomahawk missile attack on the Syrian military base, they warned the Russians, because there would have been Russian advisors and Russian military who were allied with Assad at that base. And it certainly looks like the Russians, of course, warned the Syrians. So it's a weird kind of missile attack where you basically tell everybody to get out of the way before the missiles strike.
Yes, it's very reminiscent of the kind of Tomahawk missile attacks that President Clinton launched against Iraq, against Sudan, against Afghanistan, for which Republicans at the time criticized them for being such a measured and low-level use of force. I also have to laugh, by the way, at the fact that, in fact, the Trump administration did warn the Russians, who warned the Syrians, because you will recall that Trump has spent more than a year lashing out at the Obama administration for supposedly telegraphing its military actions, for losing the element of surprise. Trump repeatedly said during the campaign that Generals MacArthur and Patton would be rolling over in their graves because the U.S. signaled ahead of time the Mosul offensive or other military actions. Well, I think he's maybe growing up a little bit in office, and he's learning that, yes, it's nice to have the element of surprise, but sometimes there are other priorities that supersede that. In this case, for example, avoiding a conflict with Russia. I mean, I think it probably made sense to warn the Russians, even if it meant sacrificing the element of surprise. But in the process, of course, you know, this is another head-spinning bit of hypocrisy on the part of President Trump.
Max, just as a last question, I wonder what you think about the whole question of authorization and unilateralism versus multilateralism. So as we were saying, when this came up with Obama's red line in 2013, when he at least contemplated, I mean, there had been missile strikes in Syria, but he thought it was necessary to get Congress to authorize it, which they didn't seem likely to do. And he also wanted to go in with allies. And he did, as I remember, line up David Cameron and the British to support if there had been a response to that Syrian use of chemical weapons in 2013. Trump didn't do any of that. He doesn't think he needs any authorization. It seems like he hasn't asked for any authorization, and he didn't try to get any allies on board. Is it? Do you think? I mean, you talked about the value of the, you know, the element of showing American resolve and willingness to act. Do you think it's impossible to act in this kind of situation with A, authorization, and B, allies helping you?
I mean, I'm certainly in favor of getting congressional authorization and getting allies where you can. But I think you can make the case that in this particular case, there was an element of time involved that you wanted to have the response come right after the chemical weapons attack, and there simply wasn't time for an elaborate debate in Congress or for a lot of consultation with allies, although it does seem as if the allies are certainly on board with this action. But I think it would be a mistake to pursue it unilaterally, and I think it would be a mistake for Trump to act without a congressional authorization for the use of force.
What would be your prediction about the outcome of this, Max? Do you think this is likely to lead to an engagement in Syria of exactly the kind Trump said he didn't want and being drawn in? Or do you think that we'll look back on this as a weird anomaly, just the missiles Trump launched that didn't end up having much impact on anything?
You know, who the hell knows? It's Donald Trump. I mean, you've already seen this guy who campaigned on this America First quasi-isolationist foreign policy acting within 3 months of taking office like, you know, the kind of neocon warmongers that he once denounced. So who can possibly predict what he is going to do next? I mean, it's fascinating and horrifying at the same time, but it's so hard to know where he's going.
I've been speaking to the military historian and foreign policy writer Max Boot. Max, thanks for coming on the show today.
Thanks for having me on.
That's it for today's show. Trumpcast is produced by Jason DeLeon. Steve Lichtai is the executive producer of Slate Podcasts. June Thomas is the managing producer of Slate Podcasts. Andy Bowers is our chief content officer. I'm Jacob Weisberg. Thanks for listening to Trumpcast.